All right, so welcome to another deep dive, everybody. Today we are going to be looking at a really interesting case from the Florida Supreme Court.
Yeah, this one is kind of a classic for law students,
Yeah.
especially when you start getting into constitutional law and how state constitutions can sometimes provide even greater protections than what you find at the federal level.
Right, exactly. Like we always say, you got to know your state's constitution inside and out.
Absolutely. It can make all the difference.
So this case in REIT TW, it really digs into that whole idea of state versus federal rights. And it specifically deals with the right to privacy and, how that intersects with abortion rights, which, as we all know, is kind of a constantly evolving area of the law.
Yeah, it's definitely a hot topic. And this case is from 1989, so it gives you some historical context too.
Okay, so to set the stage, we're talking about a 15-year-old girl in Florida who we'll just call TW. She finds herself needing an abortion, but she's really worried about telling her mom because her mom is already dealing with some serious health issues.
So you can imagine the added stress and potential harm to her mother if she were to reveal this information.
Right. It's like a really difficult situation for her. She's thinking about her own health and well-being, but also the impact it could have on her family.
Exactly. And at the time, Florida law said that minors needed to get consent from a parent to have an abortion unless they could go through this special court process called a judicial bypass.
Yeah, the judicial bypass, that's kind of like a safety valve, right? It's supposed to be there for those situations where getting parental consent just isn't possible or safe, or, maybe it's just not in the best interest of the minor.
It's meant to provide a way for the court to step in and say, okay, in this specific case, we understand why parental consent isn't feasible, and we're going to allow the abortion to proceed.
So TW goes to court trying to get this judicial bypass, but the trial court actually denies her request.
And the reasoning behind the denial is really interesting because the judge basically said that the process for getting a bypass the whole system was just too vague.
Too vague. Yeah, that was a big problem. The court found that the rules and the standards for the bypass weren't clear enough. It was like trying to navigate a maze blindfolded.
And from a legal perspective, this raises some serious red flags because if the state is going to set up a process that could potentially limit someone's rights, that process needs to be crystal clear. And above all, it needs to be fair.
Right, like you can't have people's fundamental rights hanging in the balance based on some vague and unclear rules.
Exactly. And that's where the due process concerns really come into play, because everyone is entitled to a fair process, especially when we're talking about something as personal and impactful as the right to an abortion.
So the case doesn't end there. Obviously, it goes up on appeal and it eventually lands in the Florida Supreme Court. But here's the thing. By the time the case reaches the highest court in Florida, TW had already had the abortion.
So, in a sense, her specific situation was resolved. It was what we call moot.
Moot, right, meaning the immediate issue was no longer live.
But the Florida Supreme Court, being the very smart folks that they are, they realized that the issues raised by TW's case were much bigger than just her individual circumstances.
They saw the forest for the trees, so to speak.
Exactly. They recognized that this wasn't just a one-off situation. The legal questions about a minor's right to an abortion and whether Florida's parental consent law was even constitutional, those questions weren't going away anytime soon.
And let's not forget the whole issue of the judicial bypass and whether it was even functioning properly.
Right. So they basically said, we're going to take this case, even though the immediate issue is resolved, because it has major implications for how we understand and apply the law in future cases.
So they saw it as a chance to set some important legal precedent.
Precisely. And that's why this case is so valuable for law students,
Yeah.
because it shows how courts can use even moot cases to clarify important legal principles.
Okay, so the Florida Supreme Court takes on this case and they really focus on two key questions. First, does Florida's privacy clause, which is part of their state constitution, does it actually protect a minor's right to have an abortion? And second, was that judicial bypass process in the law, did it meet constitutional standards?
And these questions are so fundamental, right? We're talking about the very scope of individual rights protected at the state level and whether the procedures created by the state to potentially limit those rights were even fair and constitutional.
All right, so let's rewind a bit and trace how this case moved through the courts. So the trial court says no to the judicial bypass, finding it too vague. Then the District Court of Appeal takes it a step further and strikes down the entire parental consent law because of that vagueness.
Yeah, that's pretty significant, right? The trial court focuses on the bypass process itself, but the appellate court says, whoa, this problem is so big, it infects the whole law.
And ultimately, the Florida Supreme Court agrees with that assessment. They rule that the law is unconstitutional, and a major reason for this has to do with Florida's very specific privacy clause.
And this is where things get really juicy for law students, because Florida's privacy clause found in Article 1, Section 23 of their Constitution, it's explicitly broader than the privacy protections that you find in the federal Constitution.
It's like Florida decided to go above and beyond when it comes to protecting people's privacy.
Exactly. And it's not some implied rights right there in black and white.
So because of this very strong and explicit privacy protection, the Florida Supreme Court applies what's called strict scrutiny to the parental consent law.
And strict scrutiny, that's the highest level of judicial review. It's the toughest test a law can face when someone challenges it as infringing on a fundamental right.
And it's not easy to pass that test.
No, it's not. The state has to prove that it has a really, really good reason for the law, a compelling state interest, and they have to show that the law is the absolute least restrictive way to achieve that goal.
So it's like the state has to jump through all these hoops to justify limiting someone's fundamental rights.
It's exactly. Yeah. And in this case, Florida argued that it had compelling interests in protecting minors and preserving family unity. But the Florida Supreme Court wasn't buying it, at least not in this specific context.
They basically said, look, we get it. Those are important goals, but they don't automatically trump a minor's fundamental right to privacy, especially when we're dealing with such a deeply personal and sensitive decision like whether or not to terminate a pregnancy.
And that's a really important point for anyone studying law, because it shows that even these really important state interests, like protecting minors, they can be outweighed by individual rights, especially when those rights are explicitly protected in the state constitution.
Right. It's all about balancing those competing interests and figuring out which one prevails in a particular situation.
And the court also took a close look at that judicial bypass procedure itself, and they found some pretty major flaws.
It was like the bypass was riddled with problems.
Yeah. And what's really important for law students to pay attention to is how specific the court got about these flaws. They pointed out that there was no requirement to create a formal record of the hearing, which is like a basic principle of due process. You got to have a record of what happened.
It's like trying to appeal a decision without a transcript of what was said in court.
Right. It makes it really hard to review what the lower court did and whether it was the right call.
And the court also said that the standards for what kind of evidence was needed were super unclear. It was like different judges could apply those standards in wildly different ways.
So you could have two minors in very similar situations, but one judge might grant the bypass while another judge might deny it.
And that lack of consistency makes the whole process seem kind of arbitrary and unfair.
Exactly. And that's a huge problem when we're talking about fundamental rights. The process has to be predictable, and it has to be applied fairly across the board.
And perhaps the most concerning thing that the court found was that there was no guaranteed right to a lawyer for minors who couldn't afford one.
Yeah, think about that. You're a 15-year-old facing this incredibly complex legal process, potentially all alone, without legal guidance. It's like sending someone into a boxing ring with their hands tied behind their back.
Talk about an uneven playing field.
And for law students, this ties into that whole concept of access to justice, which is so fundamental. You know, everyone deserves competent legal representation, especially when their rights are on the line.
So the Florida Supreme Court basically said, look, this whole judicial bypass process, it's just not cutting it. It's too vague, it's too inconsistent, and it doesn't provide adequate safeguards for minors.
And they highlighted this one particular aspect of the bypass that they found particularly problematic, the appointment of a guardian ad litem for the fetus.
So someone specifically representing the interests of the fetus.
Right. And the court felt that this turned the whole hearing into an adversarial process, pitting the minor against the fetus.
Which they felt was inappropriate.
Yeah, they basically said this should be about determining the minor's best interests and her maturity level, not about turning it into a legal battle over the fetus.
Wow. So they really wanted to shift the focus back to the individual rights of the minor.
Exactly. And it's important to note that not all the justices on the Florida Supreme Court agreed with every aspect of the majority opinion. There were some dissenting and concurring opinions that offered different perspectives.
Which is pretty common, right? You rarely see a unanimous decision on these really complex and controversial issues.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that legal interpretation isn't always black and white. There's often room for debate and different viewpoints.
So Justice McDonald, for example, he wrote a dissent arguing that minors under the legal doctrine of nonage don't actually have the capacity to consent to an abortion.
So his view wasn't really about the flaws in the judicial bypass process itself, but more about the fundamental legal status of minors and whether they even have the right to make this decision in the first place.
It was a more foundational argument about the scope of minors' rights.
And he felt that the problems with the bypass could be fixed by just clarifying the rules and procedures, not by striking down the entire law.
So he thought a more narrow approach was warranted.
Exactly. And then you had some concurring opinions where justices agreed with the outcome that the law was unconstitutional, but for slightly different reasons, or with different emphasis.
So they all got to the same destination, but they took different paths to get there.
Right. And Chief Justice Ehrlich, for example, he really focused on the concept of viability, that point in a pregnancy where a fetus could potentially survive outside the womb. And he argued that's when the state's interest in protecting fetal life becomes truly compelling.
So he tied the strength of the state's interest to the developmental stage of the fetus.
Exactly. And then Justice Overton, he took a different approach. He seemed to want to salvage parts of the parental consent law by looking at precedents from the U.S. Supreme Court. He was trying to find a way to ensure some level of parental involvement without giving parents a complete veto power over a minor's decision.
So he was searching for a compromise that could balance those competing interests.
Precisely. But what's really crucial for law students to understand is that despite these different opinions and the dissents and concurrences, there was a common thread running through all of them. They all acknowledged that minors in Florida do have fundamental rights to privacy under their state constitution.
So the debate wasn't about whether minors had those rights, but about the scope and limits of those rights.
Exactly, and how those rights should be balanced against the state's interests.
So this case, in Red TW, it's been around for a while. It was decided back in 1989, but it's still incredibly relevant for anyone studying law today. Why is that?
Well, for several reasons that we've kind of touched on already, but let's break them down. So first, it really highlights the importance of state constitutions and how they can provide greater protections than the federal constitution.
It's like states can be laboratories of democracy. They can experiment with different approaches to protecting individual rights.
Exactly. And in this case, Florida's privacy clause gave minors more protection in the context of abortion rights than they would have had under federal law alone.
So always remember to look at both the state and federal constitutions.
Absolutely. The second big takeaway is the power of strict scrutiny. Whenever you see a law that tries to restrict a fundamental right, particularly one that's clearly protected in the state constitution, you know, the courts are going to apply this very high level of scrutiny.
And it's going to be really hard for the state to justify that restriction.
They have to show a truly compelling interest and prove that the law is the absolute least restrictive way to achieve that interest. And in Ray Rader, KW really cemented that principle in Florida law when it comes to abortion rights.
So anyone trying to restrict abortion rights in Florida, they know they've got an uphill battle?
Exactly. And the third takeaway is about the importance of fair and transparent judicial processes. If a state is going to create something like a judicial bypass, they have to make sure that the rules are clear, the standards are consistent, and that everyone involved has access to legal representation.
Basically, no cutting corners when it comes to due process, especially when fundamental rights are at stake.
And in RTW, really lays out a roadmap for how to design those processes in a way that respects individual rights.
So it's not just about the outcome of the case, it's about the principles and the reasoning behind it.
And I think one line from the majority opinion really sums up the heart of this case. The court said, "Few decisions are more personal than a woman's decision to enter pregnancy." And I think that really captures the essence of the right to privacy that the court was trying to protect.
It's about individual autonomy and the right to make deeply personal decisions without undue government interference.
Exactly. And in RPW is a powerful reminder that state courts can play a vital role in safeguarding those rights, sometimes going above and beyond what federal law requires.
So as you continue your legal studies, keep this case in mind. Think about how the principle of broader state constitutional rights might apply in other areas of law.
Like digital privacy, freedom of speech, the right to die, all sorts of areas where states might offer greater protections than the federal government.
And pay attention to those procedural details, too, because as we've seen in Ready W, the specifics of a legal process can have a huge impact on whether someone's rights are truly protected.
Absolutely. It's not just about the big picture principles. It's about the nuts and bolts of how those principles are put into practice.
Well said. All right, folks. That's our deep dive into INRI TW, a case that's packed with lessons about state versus federal rights, the power of strict scrutiny, and the importance of fair judicial processes.
Thanks for joining us.
Keep those legal brains churning.
See you next time.
Bye, everyone.